Lorene, are we just about ready? Good evening. I'd like to call the study session to order on March 25th at 5:30 p.m. Are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
Mayor Pro Tem and council members, I would ask to take item number 3, the parking study, off of the consent agenda and move it as item number 2 up under the city manager's report.
Okay, and so if you'll make that motion when we open the regular meeting. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to remind every member or everyone speaking to use a mic so that we do get a good recording. And I would like to turn the meeting over to City Manager Rose. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Carr and council members, I'd like this item asks that you receive a presentation on the Better Together plan. Dr. Terry Jones, who is becoming an expert in his knowledge on the Better Together plan, will be presenting this item. Dr. Jones is a longtime professor at UMSL. He was also co-director of the Best Leadership St. Louis class in 2000. So I will turn things over to Dr. Jones.
Thank you very, very much, City Manager Rose. And Councilman Clay is another graduate of the program, as and Mayor Adams was also still another graduate of the program. All of them, of course, were in the best class ever. Thank you very much for inviting me. What the City Manager did not also mention is that for 32 of my adult years, I have been a citizen of University City and very proud to be that, because I think it's the best metropolitan city within our metropolitan area. It fits me, and that's indeed part of the theme of my presentation. I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes or so about a context in which we can assess plans to change our governmental structure, and then open it up for any kind of questions that you would that I could be helpful in your that you have about the Better Together plan or regionalism or metropolitanism more generally. When you go to tinker with or change dramatically the governmental structure in a metropolitan area, you need to address a emerging reality and an embedded value. The emerging reality is that we have become a metropolitan nation. A century ago, about 70% of Americans lived on farms or in small towns. We were an agrarian nation. In what for human beings is a relatively short period of time, by the mid to late 20th century, 80% of us were living in metropolitan areas and urbanized areas, and St. Louis was part of that change. That meant we ended up being in, and we are in, a healthy but intense competition to have a high quality of life as we compete with other metropolitan areas. And so we need to be thinking about that competition as we make public policies within the St. Louis metropolitan area. The value is localism. The fact that in the United States, we are primarily Jeffersonian, small d, Democrats. We believe in local governments that are close to the people, that are accessible, and responsive. So this debate should not be about regionalism versus localism. It should be about the balance, the appropriate balance between regionalism and localism. Now, if you apply that to the St. Louis metropolitan area, and you look at us in comparison with other metropolitan areas in the United States, it's no surprise that we think of ourselves and others who also as a shining example of localism, the ability to provide citizens with a wide variety of choices of types of local governments in which they would like to live. So that you can go from along a series of spectrums from high tax, low service, low regulation, and in between. You choose. What's not so well recognized is that we also have a reputation of being a very regional metropolitan area. The reason we often don't think of ourselves that way, and we're not often or sometimes not labeled that way, is because we have not done regionalism through large-scale governmental consolidation. That's only one way to do regionalism. Regionalism is really a dimension going all the way from having one government for the entire area to doing things, some things on a regional basis through and building institutions to do that and still continuing to do things at the local level for other services. That's what we've done. We, along with Pittsburgh and Denver, are a model in the United States for, in the second half of the 20th century and into the first part of the 21st century, focusing on one regional problem at a time on for those things that we needed to start doing regionally and doing them regionally. That started with the Metropolitan Sewer District in 1954, the Zoo Museum District, the Regional Arts Commission, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Great Rivers Greenway. If went through the entire list, it's about 40 items long. So putting it another way, about every year or two in St. Louis, since the mid-1950s, we've been doing one more thing in a more regional way than we had been doing it. And many would argue, and certainly I would argue, that's the sensible way to go about it. You're not trying to bite off more than you can digest. You're not taking risk by going from one style of government and then going to another that is totally different. So now let's shift to the Better Together plan. It received a great deal of opening applause when it was rolled out in late January, but a lot of people said then, and appropriately, let's look at those details, because the cliche is, and it's a good cliche, the devil is in the details. I have three areas of concern about the Better Together plan. One deals with democratic norms and its violation of democratic norms. The second, with its financial viability. And the third is the whole process that's being used to try to convince the state of Missouri and the citizens of this area that it's a better way of governing ourselves than our current. But as I do that, I want to make it clear that I'm not arguing for the status quo as we see it now. What I'm arguing for is we need to do something additional regionally. Let's look at that particular issue and let's see what we can do. That's the way we have been doing it, and we've been very good at it. So, for example, should we combine some public health departments? Possibly. Should we have an overarching regional economic development agency? That's worth talking about. Should we have a single airport authority? Again, another useful topic of conversation. So this is not the status quo versus the Better Get It plan. It's one way of approaching regionalism versus another. How does it violate democratic norms? The first, and the one that's not necessarily received as much attention as the second one is a statewide vote for what is essentially a local issue. The first is the way in which it goes about ending charter government. The citizens of University City and the citizens of about 20 cities in St. Louis County, and for their county government, the citizens of the entire county, and for the city of St. Louis, they all have charters. They are our home rule entities. That means they have a constitution. That's charter is just a local word for a constitution. And how was that constitution developed? In every case, it was citizen-driven and citizen-approved. The citizens made a decision, let's consider having a charter. Then they made a second decision, let's elect these citizens to draft a plan. Then they made a third decision, do we like the plan or not? And if they liked the plan, voted it in 50% plus one, that's the way it was done. That's how we change our state constitution. So we did it in the last time in the 1940s, but we are do it again. We would have a statewide vote as to whether or not we wanted to consider doing it. We would elect delegates to a constitutional convention. We would give them some time to come up with that constitution. It would go back on the ballot, and we would vote it in or not vote it in. How's this proposed doing it? Well, this new metropolitan city, after everything would be, have a charter. It says so in the amendment. But who would draft that charter? Well, first of all, many of the things you would find in a charter, like who's going to be elect? Where's the executive authority going to lie? How many members of the legislature will there be? What will be the terms? When will the elections be held? All of those are in the amendment. So they will be settled that way. But for a lot of the other matters, various kinds of authority and division, the separation or range of that authority, the charter is going designated in the amendment that it's going to be written by two people. The county executive of St. Louis County, now as of January 1, 2021, and the mayor of the city of St. Louis as of that same date, are charged with writing the charter, as opposed to a citizens' commission. Then who's going to okay or not okay that charter? Well, the legislature, the new legislature, the Metropolitan Council, elected in November of 2022, has that power. But unless two-thirds of them object, it becomes the charter. It never goes to a vote of the people. Well, what if the people want to change it? What if it terms an amendment? Well, if it's a part of the charter that's contained in the constitutional amendment, we'll need another statewide constitutional amendment to change that, because that part is part of the state constitution at that point. It's the part of the charter that the county executive and the mayor, the transitional mayor, had put in there. It would require a charter amendment, but in order to approve a charter amendment requires a two-thirds vote. I spend a little more time on this because I want to emphasize this is being locked in. If it turns out this is a mistake, undoing that mistake is going to take a considerable amount of time, and it's going to require super majorities at the state level and the city and the county in order to do that. So it better be damn good, pardon my language, or else we're going to have a heck of a time undoing it. The statewide vote is still another example of an undemocratic in terms of the state as a whole saying what's going to happen. And the likelihood or the possibility of a situation where the statewide vote is positive and the vote in St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis is negative is not non-zero. It's fairly high. Then we are going to find ourselves in a chaotic period in the first part of the next decade, trying to figure out what this all means as government that somebody else has voted that we should have. Eliminating municipal governments. That's part of American democracy. The ability to form your own government. The power to incorporate goes away. The power of the citizens to incorporate within the larger now St. Louis City and St. Louis County vanishes. Indianapolis didn't do that. Louisville did not do that. Nashville did not do that. Okay, that's not been done for the other major mergers that have occurred in not so in one sense recent times, Louisville and Indianapolis, Nashville, all the way back to the early 70s and 1960s. Then there's this matter of what happens to cities. Well, they vanish. Yes, a name hangs around, University City, and in order to fool the people, they'll still have a mayor and a city council, won't have much of authority, okay? And that's for St. Louis County. For the city of St. Louis, they don't vote for anybody. It's a St. Louis Municipal Corporation with a five-person set of directors appointed by the metro mayor, okay? That's not small-d democratic, that's autocratic. That is, to quote Reverend Starsky Wilson, apartheid. And then finally, I talked about the difficulty to undo this. You might say, well, there's a part of the Constitution right now, the Board of Freeholders provision, Article 6, Section 30, where we could form another Board of Freeholders after this passes to do it. No, if you look at the amendment, it gets rid of that provision. It eliminates it. So that a path for the citizens of the future in this area to change again, once again, their government will not be that available. Financial viability. Three of academics, myself, Jim Brasfield from Webster University, and Mark Tranel, also from UMSL, with the advice and input from a variety of governmental experts at the practitioner level, are doing an analysis of the finances. It'll be out within the next week, so But let me point out a couple of things that are already pretty obviously deficient about the financial viability. First, they claim that could well be cumulatively up to $5 billion worth of savings. Well, how do they come up with that $5 billion? They cut government by a considerable margin. How big? A 3% cut, disguised with an inflationary in their projection, but a real 3% cut each year from 2023 to 2032. So almost, but not quite, one-third over that period. And they claim there'll be enough cost savings so they won't have to cut services. I don't need to tell a city council or a state legislature that doesn't happen, cannot happen. And if you ask, well, what's happened in terms of cost savings in previous mergers in other parts of the country? Okay, Louisville, the savings after a few years were 1%, and then those went away. It was back to the way it had been before. Same story in Indianapolis, same story Nashville. Same story in the other consolidations. There's never been a consolidation that has achieved major cost savings. There's reasons for that. I'd be happy to give them to you, but we'll just sit that. But the fact that they're relying on those cost savings to take care of not having reduction in services, before they see whether or not that assumption is valid, which I don't think it is, which history has shown never has happened, they reduce taxes by $250 million a year. They cut out the earnings tax, which will be, that's about $200 million, and it'll be fully cut out by 2032. And they reduce the county tax, property tax, for county purposes by 50% in 2023. And that tax in the city and the county yields roughly $50 million a year. That's not solid financial planning to cut taxes before whether you know those cost savings are going to be large enough to continue to support your services. And then finally, for government as well as for the business sector, it's a mistake to rely too much on any one revenue source or revenue stream. You're always running a risk because all of your eggs are in that basket. This makes sales tax a significant item of reliance. According to the financial projections, pro forma budget out by Better Together, about 53% of the Metro City budget would be supported by sales tax. Then the final part that is very questionable, that's how this was all done. You weren't at the table. I wasn't at the table. I'm not bragging. I'm one of the 20 or so national specialists on this. Now, my feelings were not hurt, okay? Because the other specialists were not at the table either. They didn't want specialists. All of us, through the municipalities, offered to be at the table. The scholars said, we can be at the table if you'd like us. But no thanks. We don't need you. Okay. There were no public meetings. The ones that they had to get input, nobody said, well, what do you think about this way of doing the charter? What do you think about eliminating the earnings tax? Those issues were never raised. It was just, are you favoring more regionalism? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Well, then that's what we'll do. And then after the rollout, we've gone through now, we're in our third cycle. The rollout was late morning. The petition was filed with the Secretary of State by 3:30 that afternoon. Then in February, late in the week, they said, we're going to make some changes. And they did. They drove down to Jefferson City, filed it on late Friday afternoon, Monday morning, that was set. And you all read in the paper this morning that they are going to make the changes. You know what? They filed it with the Secretary of State about 2 hours ago before asking any of us, well, we're going to make this change. What about some others? If Democratic, small-d deliberations about how we should govern ourselves should be done by the people, not by an organization unelected and not responsible to the people. And Finally, when you go around and hear the town halls and participate in the discussions, and you ask who are representing better together, it's four staff members. You never see the people that wrote this, unless they did.
Okay.
The five individuals, that task force, they've not appeared in any public forum about the plan since then. They're nice people, I'm sure. I know three of them. But they're not defending it. So to have a plan put forward by a group that's not willing to come to public sessions, talk to the public, talk to the others, all that are involved, defend it or change it, is very, very disappointing. Well, that's not a neutral analysis, you might say, and it isn't. But this is the depth of the violation of democratic norms that is occurring through this process. And more sadly than even that, that violation, is the fact that this is not going to do what it's intended to do, which is to make a more humane, a more equitable, and a more competitive metropolitan area. Be happy to answer any questions or listen to any of your thoughts about this.
Anyone else? I guess I want your thought on this. We did see the task force members disappear, but I have seen Dave Leipholz and also Chris Pieper, who both attorneys who have represented the changes and I think in one case Leipholz even said that he was responsible for some of this. So in fact, it may be that staff that's really responsible for the writing, or that was the impression I got. So I wanted your thought on that. And the second thing is that it seems to me that that they're intransigent about answering questions specifically with regard to the police study that they used. They acknowledge that the data was taken in 2014 and that things have significantly changed. And
very significantly.
Yeah. And so they're still not open to discussing those changes and how that might affect the development of their plan. I'll let you.
Well, again, it's very disappointing. We don't know, and as you would not be surprised, I find myself now increasingly in the same room. I know Dave Leipholz. I've met him through this process. I know all of the staff members, except Chris Pieper, I have met but really don't know. They work for this organization. I have no problem with that. It's a job and go for it. But we don't know. Everybody speculates who's behind the curtain, but whoever it is behind the curtain doesn't come outside the curtain.
Okay.
And so that's very frustrating at times to do that. So I don't know who wrote it on a day-to-day basis, but it's issued under the emblem of Better Together, and therefore it's that organization is responsible for it. Yes, sir.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Leif, but we don't have citizens. So if you would save it or submit it. Yeah, and so, yeah. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll comment quickly if no one else does. Professor Jones, thank you for your presentation. First question is actually more to the city manager. I know there had been some conversation about inviting actually representatives of Better Together to participate in a discussion like this. Do you have any?
Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Clay, we certainly have the option of inviting Better Together to a study session, the same as what we're doing for this one. Because of the amount of time for the study session, it didn't seem appropriate to have them both during the same time period because of the limited amount of time. But if they make a request to participate in a study session, or if the council members desire me to reach out to them again, certainly willing to do that.
Okay. And let me offer this as well. I know clearly the council is aware, some of the audience may be aware as well. We passed a resolution that took issue with the process that Better Together is undertaking. I want to say, and I've heard this uttered by other council members, but I would dare not speak for them, but for me personally, I support the idea of regionalism. I think there are some macro-level issues. We don't need two public health departments. I think there are some micro quality of life issues as well that could potentially be addressed through a more regional approach, i.e. policing in some of our neighboring communities, particularly to the north. And so I think there is a regional solution there, and I think the approach Dr. Jones articulated might, kind of taking it a problem at a time, might get at that, and there might be even some more connective consolidation that takes place as well. But my issue and at least from the resolution that we passed as a council seems to be, is really about the process by which this is happening. And I would say we can certainly bring this up later. I would like Better Together to come here. And I know it only takes two of us to request that, but I think it's important that we hear directly from them and have the opportunity to ask them questions.
So I have one more question. In the February amendment to their proposed amendment, mm-hmm. to the Better Together amendment, they made two changes that I noticed, although they said it was just technicalities. The first was to nail down the position for the county executive, because they left it as only sickness, death, and retirement,
right.
essentially, and so they may have known that there was, and almost everyone that followed it knew that there were some problems between the county executive and the county council. Hmm. So that was one of the things that I noticed. The second thing I noticed was that they actually went after the sales taxes, saying that the sales taxes that were operative before the election would remain so. And so my question, my thought was, what if the people had decided they no longer wanted a sales tax and could take a vote and say, we don't want our parks sales tax anymore, which is, a viable thing. It seemed to me like they nailed that one down too, as if you couldn't take that step back. Your thoughts?
So I snuck out in the corner of my eye and looked at the city attorney. There are all sorts of issues that will need to be litigated in this document that, while I can have an opinion about, and I'm not an attorney, but I am a specialist in local government, will almost automatically be litigated if it passes. So, for example, my reading of the document would say if you had a dedicated tax for one of the services that you were allowed to provide, and Parks and Recreation is one of those services, you could keep that dedicated sales tax. But I agree that you could read that differently, and that it's not an open and shut case in my interpretation of that statute. For sales taxes, for other things, say economic development, my reading is that those are going to go, unless those are pledged as part of some debt payment, or certificate of participation or so forth, those will go to Metro City and either right away or it will go to Metro City after the debt or the other liabilities are paid for. Metro City is going to be a very powerful entity if this passes, and the Metro Mayor of Metro City will be one of the most powerful local executives in the United States in terms of their formal powers. Some people would like that, some people would not, but that's the reality of the proposal.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Professor Jones, I have a question. So if the Better Together proposal goes through and the city, the mayor of the city and the county executive write this charter, and whether or not the two-thirds majority exists on this new governing board approves this new charter, if they do or they don't, do we lose our constitutional right to be able to vote on a charter like that, or
yes.
Did we give that up when the will you answer my question? Yes, we do.
Yes, you will lose that right as of passage of the amendment in November of 2020.
And then the petition that's going around to bring together to form...
That's not ambiguous, by the way.
Yeah.
That's like, unlike the sales tax. Go on.
The petition initiative to force the city and the county to form the Board of Freeholders now so that this issue can be discussed openly and frankly. What do you feel about that?
I think it would be very healthy for this region. And I'm going to take a step back and make a side statement, with your permission. Even I and all of us fall into the habit, it's not a good habit, of referring to the city and county as the region. That's so 20th century. And actually, it's so mid-20th century. As of now, we are 48% of the region combined, the city and the county. So there are a lot of other important actors out there, especially St. Charles County. After I went off on your tangent, I'm going to ask you, Councilman, to repeat your question.
The petition initiative currently being handed around
okay,
to...
Okay, thank you. This will give the St. Louis City and St. Louis County, through a transparent process that is open to the public and through people that are selected by the public's representatives, to debate whether or not we do want to make some changes in our governmental structure. So the process is, if enough signatures are collected for the initiative, that's roughly 15,000 in the county, 5,000 in the city. The county executive will appoint 9 people to a board of freeholders, which now more appropriately is called a board of electors. But those 9 appointments have to be approved by a majority of the county council. And same process in the city. 9 appointed by the mayor of the city of St. Louis have to be approved by a majority of the board of aldermen. And then the governor appoints a 19th member. And they have up to a year to produce a plan. So we can have a nice, healthy debate about whether public health should be combined, whether we should have minimum standards for municipalities, whether or not we want a city reentry into St. Louis County. That would be a wonderful forum in which to do all or some of those. And it will be public, open to everybody, transparent. It's a governmental body. The Board of Electors is. Thank you.
Mr. Rose, did you want to?
Mayor Pro Tem and council members, that concludes the presentation for the Better Together plan.
Thank you. So I think we will adjourn this meeting and start our next meeting at 6:30. So I'd like to adjourn this meeting at 6:02 p.m. Thank you.